Good afternoon. It's good to see you all out here to study another portion of God's Word. We've heard lessons on this subject, on error, on backsliding, counterfeits, what have you, error or lies, on many, many occasions here. Because it's so important that we stay fixed in the truth, knowing that there's so many out there looking to trip us up, it does us well to hear lessons of this nature spoken to us by different guys here in different ways, so we can get a better grasp on what we're dealing with, because it is so very important, again, to say that the Lord wishes to keep those that are in His kingdom and doesn't wish any of them to backslide and walk out the back door never to come back again. My text comes from 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, where the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." If you look at that text here, you can see here that in the churches of the saints, we find that God is, of course, is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In those churches that are not the proper ones, I should say, we have confusion in them, for they're named by different names. There's different men and groups of men that lead them and have authority in them and not Jesus Christ. So we know that those churches that are misled, they are being confused by Satan. It is a general fact that worthless things, things that mean nothing, things that have no value or worth, are never ever counterfeited. Only something that is true and worth something is counterfeited. A counterfeiter not only chooses objects of value to counterfeit, but he tries to make his counterfeit so nearly the exact replica of the original that he can pass or sell it off as if it were the genuine article. Counterfeit is defined as something fake or phony, an imitation, the opposite of genuine, something forged. Counterfeit is something that is made in imitation of something genuine so as to deceive or defraud. It closely resembles something else as to mislead an imposter, something artificial. People do not counterfeit things that are worthless. Seldom, if ever, does anyone counterfeit anything less than a $20 bill. Fake money is never counterfeited. Only genuine money is. With today's technology and computer and laser printers, law enforcement has a real rough time distinguishing fake money from the genuine article. Recent counterfeiting has become even more difficult as the U.S. and many other countries use technology to prevent counterfeiting. U.S. bills now have a magnetic strip embedded near one end, in addition to the fine blue and red lint particles, and most have a totally new design. You can turn it and look at it on the very right side and hold it in the light, and you can see a ghost of the image of the president that is in plain view in the center. Bank tellers are trained to know the genuine in order to recognize and detect anything else is counterfeit, but serious counterfeiters are still attempting to duplicate even these new details. It behooves us as Christians to read the Bible so that we may get all the training that we know and establish in our hearts and minds so that we can recognize doctrinal error wherever it raises its ugly head. So, worthless things are never counterfeited. Counterfeit argues the existence of genuine. If there were no genuine things, there would not be any need for counterfeits. When fake or counterfeit things exist, it stands to reason that there are genuine things that exist. The closer the imitation, the greater the danger. When fake or counterfeit things have closely imitated the real, genuine things, the greater the chances that they will not be revealed as fake, and the greater the chances that one will be deceived. There are many counterfeit churches out there in the world, all preaching different things, confusing millions of people. All of them state that they use the Word of God, but they do not. With many, Bible doctrine is not the final word. Man's traditions and money-making schemes have become the final word, in many churches today, and they are leading millions down the broad way. 1 John 5 and 9 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Yes, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and Satan will use anything and say anything and do anything in his efforts and schemes to deceive us. James 1 and 27 speaks of pure religion. The phrase pure religion means that which is genuine and sincere, or which is free from any improper mixture. God has always desired the Jews to stay away from mixing with the heathen nations around them. For one reason, he knew that their pagan influence upon the Jews' worship would occur if they intermingled. If one's religion is not 100% Christianity, if it is mixed with man's rules and man's commandments, it is not Christianity. It must be genuine, with not the least bit of counterfeit mixed in, not the least. So if it is not pure Christianity, it is counterfeit. In Isaiah 14 and 14, the Bible says, "Satan said he wanted to be like the Most High. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." But with this in mind here, we must realize that Satan has already started his counterfeiting. Satan is the master counterfeiter. The Bible declares that he is the father of lies in John 8 and 44. And a counterfeit is the symbol of a lie, plain and simple. Satan seeks to counterfeit God's plan. He seeks to counterfeit God's will, his church, and prevent mankind from being obedient to God so that he could not obtain eternal life in heaven. Since some people can see through one counterfeit gospel and some can detect another, Satan, God's enemy, has set up not just one, but hundreds of counterfeit religious doctrines and systems. In fact, by the number of counterfeits that there are, we can see the very plain evidence of the true value of genuine Bible Christianity. Satan's method is to counterfeit God's religion. Satan's plan was to form a pagan religion, then unite bits and pieces of it with a professing Christian church, causing it to fall away. Bottom line, Satan wants to confuse man, and confuse man he has. We can read in the New Testament of many churches that had fell away after innovations and changes in the pure form of worship. It happened then. It can happen today. It certainly can happen today. Let us not be fooled that it cannot. We slowly see one or two here and there over the decades that have accepted innovations. They've embraced other items of worship from other denominations into their fold. And they have lost their identity, plain and simple. They are no longer the true Christian church because their members do not worship as God would have us to worship. And His will is very evidently written for us to see and read and understand in His Word. Satan has given the world many counterfeits. He's given us counterfeit gods. In 2 Thessalonians 2, and starting in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." This we know and can see from history has occurred when the first pope sat down on his throne in Rome, taking this form, this high office of God on earth. What blasphemy it is for any human being to claim himself to be God or the vicar of Christ here upon this earth. And you can look at all the other world's religions. There's just a few here that I've mentioned. The list could fill pages. The Hindu God, Buddha, Islam's Muhammad, those who worship the heavenly bodies, the sun god, the moon, and the stars. Those individuals that call themselves druids, their gods are earthly gods, the trees and Mother Earth. In the New Age movement, where everyone claims to be a god themselves. So it's no new news that there are counterfeit gods out there. We understand that, and of course, let us always remember we should try to help each and every one of the individuals that have been deceived by each one of these counterfeits. The next is counterfeit Christ. We are warned in Matthew 24 and 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Yes, even the most intelligent people can be deceived. Even those that have been to universities or biblical or Bible universities, religious organizations that have universities that get a degree in it, certainly even the very elect can be deceived if they do not stick to following the Word of God, the New Testament, in reading it and understanding it and remembering it. We are told that there will be many out there that would claim to be like Christ. Anyone that is anti-Christ, against Christ, speaks against the Word of God, speaks against Christ, speaks against His divinity, speaks contrary to the reality that He did come here, the Son of God, died on the cross for us as a man, and bled and died for our sins, and that He's now resurrected, sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Anyone that would talk anything against that certainly is a counterfeit or is a false Christ. Counterfeit spirits, they're out there. 1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Man always likes to change things. Everything that man puts his hands upon, he likes to change. For whatever reason, in many of the religious organizations in the world, if one thing isn't working to bring the people in to get your money, you can guarantee they're going to change some item of worship, change something that's part of their organization to get more people to come into the door and to give those organizations money. If one thing doesn't work, they'll try others, and it's a continuing process of changing. I just don't understand how anyone can feel that they can change any matter of worship to God and can consider themselves in the right or them realizing that they are pleasing God when they do it, because it's not true. 1 Timothy 4 and 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils." Again, we get constant warning from the apostles about being deceived. There was many, many warnings. It's not like our good Lord did not give us those items, those warnings in His Word, and then all of a sudden the church falls away and people fall away from the church, and different churches throughout the world cease to exist because of it. Man was given ample warning in plain language that warns us that we are to watch out for those that speak, watch out for what they say, listen to them, but verify it with the Scriptures. The Holy Bible is what we can use to do that. The only thing that we need to do that, and of course, we try the spirits, even trying me and anyone else that speaks from here. And of course, anyone that desires and is speaking the truth would certainly welcome any time any person to come to us and speak about what we've spoken using the Word of God. And if we have made an error or said something wrong, certainly we want it to be brought to our attentions. But those that are actively in those religious organizations, those counterfeit organizations, of course, don't want to be shown the correct way. They want to continue doing what they're doing. And if you point out their error and bring them to the truth, you're not welcomed anymore. Another one is counterfeit angels, 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He is a counterfeit angel ever since he sinned when he was cast out from heaven. But of course, in his deceiving, in his methods of deceit and deception, he makes himself to be a holy one, an angel of light. And we know that he's an angel of death, plain and simple. He's the father of lies, and hell awaits him and all his angels come judgment day. Counterfeit apostles, 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, is another counterfeit that Satan has given us and has strengthened. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We know, and we've had lessons here, that anyone that would be called an apostle were just the original apostles, those that lived and experienced Jesus' teaching and saw His resurrection, or as we know in the instance of Paul, he's seen the resurrected Christ. Anyone else claiming themselves to be apostle is an outright liar. There are many out there that have reached their ranks of their religious organizations. They may think themselves to be an apostle because they lead millions of followers. They may get that thought. They might even be referred to as one by one of their lower-ranking members in their organization. But we know they're counterfeit. All the apostles, the true apostles, are now deceased, and they are in paradise at this moment. And anyone else claiming to be such certainly is a liar and is deceiving you. Revelations 2:2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. We are to try those people. We are to try those spirits. We are to ask them questions using the Word, and basically put them on the spot. There's nothing wrong with putting a false or deceitful worker, whatever they may be, an apostle or a counterfeit Christ, put them on the spot using God's Word and try them. And we are to do it in such a way, in a loving manner, though, that we may win them over to Christ, to let them understand and realize the error of their ways and turn them. But many, after so many years doing what they do in their counterfeit organizations, usually money and power and stature and position is involved, they don't want to hear it. Counterfeit prophets, 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And though covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We are to be aware of all those that consider themselves prophets. These are nothing but counterfeit prophets. We are to realize that as time goes on, and you can see little signs in the news and in the world today where this world really truly is heading. A major department store, granted Christmas is not a religious holiday. The only real special day, of course, is the Lord's Day. But just the fact that the organization, because they have world or global interest, their organizations, their businesses are in other countries. They don't want to offend anyone that's Islamic or any of the other religions out there. So they have basically not, I guess, whatever it is in the news about them not recognizing Christmas as any kind of religious thing in their store. As you see, there are many people that are now down on Christians. We're starting to hear evil things spoken of them. Anyone that's Christians considered a fanatic, and that you're not loving enough to accept other religions. True Christians wish to win over those that are not, and in a loving way, of course, using the gospel of Jesus Christ to do it. And apparently to the world and to many, that is wrong. To try to win somebody over, it is wrong to point their errors or their things that they're doing wrong, even their religion itself. So we can see as the time goes on that there are many people that are speaking false things about the gospel, false things about Jesus Christ, false things about judgment, God's love, and eternal life. And we know better, and we should study the Word and always be ready to give them an answer. Counterfeit gospels is another big counterfeit. There are many gospels that are so-called gospels in the world. God and the Son, God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three of them are not too happy with the way man has treated God's Word. Galatians 1, Starting in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Many today are raised in a denomination and taught by family and church not to challenge the religious belief of others. When one fails to challenge the belief of others, very quickly it leads to a failure to challenge our own beliefs. If everyone else is all right, then I must be all right as well. This is a sure formula for complacency and ignorance, and of course, error. Many have been conditioned to believe that it just doesn't matter what we believe or practice, so long as we love God and go to church. If so, there's no reason to bother studying or discussing biblical truth. But the Bible persistently states that it does matter. As you read the Scriptures, this will become quite clear. Allow the Scriptures to find their way into your heart. Your eternal destiny depends on it. Counterfeit miracles is another one that we hear from time to time. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You have heard the news many times, so-called apparitions or likenesses or images of Jesus or Mary, Jesus' mother, and others. People have sworn that they have appeared in some stained glass somewhere, in the face of some rock or on a pile of earth, or ridiculous as it may sound, on some ice cream cone or some sort of food, or on the face of a building. Then some denominational priest comes by, sees it, so-called sees it, and confirms it to be some kind of a miracle. How many, how about all those self-proclaimed miracle workers and healers on TV, falsely claiming that they can heal people? Through lying wonders, they deceive many. They convince many that it is true, and it's sad to say that most of them, you couldn't convince them otherwise after they've seen such a thing. Counterfeit churches, again, is another thing that Satan has had a hand in. Colossians 1 and 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that is the authority. Counterfeit churches do not give Jesus Christ all the authority that he is due. If they did, they would wear his name. If they did, they would preach his gospel. If they did, they would teach the true plan of salvation and be an exact replica of the early church, which God has given us perfect examples in the New Testament. It's sad to say there's hundreds of thousands of counterfeit churches across this world. Many had started off right with the scriptural name and scriptural items of worship, but error soon reared its ugly head. False prophets moved in and preached things that were contrary to the Word of God, and of course those faithful congregations here and there were changed and become something totally unrecognizable by the New Testament Scriptures. Counterfeit baptisms is another one. There are many religious organizations that claim they're using the Word of God. They're speaking the truth. They're giving you the plain, unadulterated plan of salvation and saying that sprinkling is okay. You can be sprinkled for baptism. You can have water poured on you, or marking the sign in your forehead with a wet thumb, the sign of the cross, is considered a baptism by many. I've even heard recently that they say if you want to be hosed off with a hose, you're baptized, and it's okay. It don't matter. It's your choice. It doesn't matter how you are, as long as you get wet in some kind, shape, manner, or form. How sad it is how man has converted the plain command of Jesus Christ in Mark 16 and 16 about immersion for baptism. Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. the kingdom of God here upon this earth, Christ's church, the church that he bled for and died for, is that one body. It has that one spirit in it. There is a one baptism. It's one holy faith that is preached. And anyone that doesn't is considered a counterfeit. Counterfeit names is another counterfeit that Satan seems to have had a lot of success with. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We see several scriptures using the word Christian, I-A-N, follower of Christ. If we wish to be a follower of Christ, we'll wear his name. Just as in the secular world, if a woman wishes to marry a man, then she wears his name. She's part of his family now and will wear his name. If people in the world wish to obey the gospel, they will put aside all denominational party names. And if they are baptized for the remission of sins in the watery grave of baptism and become a member of the body of Christ, they'll wear Christ's name and no other. People seem to think it's okay to wear the names of someone or some group who didn't die for them. How foolish it is. Names aren't important, they say. Hyphenated names. Mixing the denominational name with Christ's. How sad. It doesn't belong. Baptist Christian, Protestant Christian, Catholic Christian. It goes on and on and on. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what God's will is. One of God's will is for us is to glorify His Son. When we give glory to His Son, we give homage to Him, we give remembrance to Him, we speak His name, we wear His name, we give glory to the God the Father. If one is to pray in Jesus' name, why don't they wear His name? You hear many in denominations that somewhat pray a proper prayer, a proper scriptural prayer. They address God the Father in heaven, and they ask for spiritual things, and they close in Jesus' name, but they don't want to wear His name. Why? Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. How can anyone expect Jesus to be in the midst of them if they assemble together under a denominational name? I don't understand. And the disciples were called Christians first, in Antioch, Acts 11:26. Luke 21:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Is this one reason why people don't wear Jesus' name? They will be hated? They don't want to be upset or to offend anyone? Next, counterfeit worship. It all works together. Much of this is all together in one place. Breaking it down for you, this last counterfeit is the worship itself. There are many that break up the whole assembly into classes, contrary to even what the Jewish tradition was. The Jews gathered together, the men, women, and children, and the strangers at the gates, all in one assembly where the Word of God was read to them and that they were taught. In many of those organizations, they brought in choirs. Choirs that do beautiful singing, mind you, I'll admit it, with musical instruments. But what over time, the listeners, the members that are sitting in the pews or the chairs, the seats, they stop singing and they just listen. They go there to be entertained by beautiful choirs all dressed up in good garb and musical instruments, which are contrary to New Testament worship. They entertain. They tickle them ears. Testimonies, dancing in the aisles, Lord's Supper rarely observed. And when it is, it's done the wrong way. People just don't care anymore. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've heard it over and over again. And it's just so. It's right that we do. We must memorize that. That must be one of the first scriptures that's in our heart and ready to come out of our mouth if we wish to explain to those others about counterfeit. As Christians become more aware of other forms of religion, so Satan, the great counterfeiter, goes back to work, going to even greater lengths to copy genuine Christianity, sometimes even to the finest points of doctrine. Just as the counterfeit uses the name of the country whose currency is counterfeiting and even duplicates the signatures of the treasurer and secretary of the treasury, so the counterfeit Christian uses the name of Jesus Christ and may even imitate the miraculous signs of Jesus' power. Just like the magicians of ancient Egypt duplicated Moses' sign before Pharaoh, and we find that in Exodus 7, verses 10 through 12, there are many others here today that will attempt to try to do the same thing to lead people astray. Only in the churches where everything measures up to the original apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine, are you truly safe. A church wearing a scriptural name is vitally important. In Romans 16 and 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you, where they teach the real Bible plan of salvation. Of course, we understand we must believe and repent and confess Christ before men and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins. The members of that church should be wearing the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, meekness, patience, and temperance, which we know are the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22. They should show Christian love for all others of like precious faith, John 13 and 35, and concern for the lost and those deceived by counterfeit religions. Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God knew that not everyone would listen to him. God knew there would be many out there that would need the help of each and every member of the church. As decades and centuries went on, that plan still goes. That will of God still goes, still in effect, that we are to do our best to teach everyone that we come in contact of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who Christ was, who Jesus was, what he did, why he did it, and what our future holds for us. So if real Christianity is important to you, beware of the counterfeits. That's the main point tonight. Beware of the counterfeits that are out there. You can tell the real from the phony only by close examination of its doctrines and the lives they live. You can know beyond a doubt that you are saved and headed through the right door and down the right road. Can it be any plainer and simpler than Isaiah 45, starting in verse 5? I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, that through thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45 and 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. One should keep in mind that faith in a counterfeit God is really no more than a misplaced faith in a false prophet and the teaching of a false prophet. Remember, a counterfeit, to be called a counterfeit, must resemble the genuine item. If there are many counterfeit gods, then there must be one real God, and he is, he exists, and he's found in the scriptures and in everything that surrounds us. It's important for us as members of the church, especially in these modern times, to be able to recognize a counterfeit spirit, counterfeit worship, counterfeit teachers, counterfeit churches. It's good for us to know what the difference is, and the only way we can do it is reading the New Testament scriptures. Of course, we know it as members here how our worship should be conducted. You must listen very, very carefully. If your mind wanders a little bit listening to some, you won't catch it. And it's there though. Recently, I've heard one at a funeral listened very carefully, and I heard the false doctrine being taught. It's sad, but I heard people saying amen and amen and amen. And it's sad to see that people have trusted their eternal destiny with a man and not trusting it on the Holy Scriptures, which we ought to be doing. If there be one this evening, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?